just sensing the Lord in the room or feeling Him touching your heart. Well, before we continue, I just want to encourage you to allow the Lord to continue what He's starting. I feel like He's starting some things today, and He's going to continue them throughout the weekend. And we're meant to live close to Him, to be in dialogue with Him, and to process through these things with Him. So I feel like He has some big things in store for this weekend, and so be expectant. But just to give you guys a little bit of a picture of who we are, we're from the Global Prayer House down in Medicine Hat, Alberta. We came about a year ago. How many of you were here a year ago? Okay, a few people actually, maybe mostly not everybody. Cool. Well, that's awesome. We're excited to get to know the rest of you that we haven't met yet. As far as everyone else, we're honored to be back. We're honored that Margaret and Stan and Crystal have arranged to have us come, and we just love this place. We love you guys and your hearts, and we feel like our ministry actually is in just our hearts are similar. Our hearts are similar for what is on the Lord's heart, and so it's neat to come to a place where we can be in unity in the way that we run after the Lord together. And so as far as our ministry, just to give you guys a little bit of a picture, we have a team of about 10 of us here. From Global Prayer House, but we run a ministry that puts on schools, we run events all throughout the year, we run these mobile teams. There's actually 15 different departments that we facilitate, and this is just one of them. And so I want to share with you a couple of them. I'm not going to get into all of them. We run schools, but I'm going to get into that tonight, so you'll have to come back tonight to hear about what those are. But the main thing that what we do is actually the prayer room. Because the focus of prayer is intimacy. And we cannot have an impact on anyone, anywhere, if we don't have intimacy with the Lord first. That's what I believe. That's what we believe in the core of our ministry, is how can we plan or desire to affect other people if we're not close with the Lord first? And so just like worship service like this, what we do is we facilitate a prayer room throughout the week that mixes prayer with worship. And sometimes when it comes to prayer, we have to pray in order to cause and work our hearts into alignment with the Lord's heart. For me, I've been asked to pray for different topics before, and I'm like, well, I don't have a heart for it. And then I start to move my mouth, and I start to pray, and I start to come into alignment and feel and think how the Lord thinks about it. So it's when we bring ourselves into alignment with Him in intimacy that we begin to feel how He feels. And that's what I want. So that's the focus and the foundation of our ministry, is intimacy with the Lord. And then from that place, we facilitate these different events and schools and so on. So with that, the last thing I want to share is that we have an upcoming event that I actually want to invite you guys to. It's February 8th to 10th, and it's a women's conference. So men, send your women. We also run a men's conference, but that's not for a little while. So our women's conference, it's called Going for Glory, and it's February 8th to 10th. It's absolutely free. And the focus of it is for women this year who are wanting to leave a legacy that matters. Not just living a life that's culturally or morally acceptable to the world around us. But how do we have a heart that's vibrant? How do we have a heart that's alive and awake and making an impact for eternity? Yeah, so that's the focus of this conference coming up. And so it's February 8th to 10th. There's more information. We have a booth at the back. If you guys want to come and chat with us about anything to do with the conference, you can come talk with us after. So we're going to transition now, though, into some teaching for the morning. How many of you guys are excited for that? Me too. So I'm going to invite Sarah Daw to come up. She is on staff full-time with the Global Prayer House, her and her husband Ryan. They have three kids. They're originally from Ontario. They moved out this way just for what God is doing in this province and partnering with His heart for what He wants to release into this nation. So Sarah Daw, she is a conference speaker. She teaches at our schools, and I love her heart for people. She's gifted, she's anointed, she's a very clear communicator. So I'm excited for what God's put on her heart for this morning. So you guys want to help me welcome her up? Yeah. And thank you, Janelle. Thank you, team. Yeah, I'll grab a stand for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Janine. I love Janine. Her and I are tight. And we have been collaborating together and teaching in internships together. And she was one of my most eager students in the Song of Solomon teaching, the figurative teaching of between your heart and Jesus, the bridegroom king and God. And so she is just grown immensely over the years that I've known her and really come into her own right of leadership and even as a speaker. And so, Janine, love you. And I love our team. Wasn't that worship amazing? So awesome. I actually, every time I listen to our teams do worship, all of them, I just sit back and wonder, and I'm like, God, this is such a gift, isn't it? Just to be ushered into the presence of the Lord with just like soaking wet, anointed songs and sounds, and it's incredible. So if you ever get a chance to make it out to Medicine Hat, I really encourage you to come. You know, grab a team and just share gas money and just make it happen. We'll help find you guys a place to stay and, you know, see if we can billet you out and make it there. So if you can come to the conference or on our Tuesday nights or on our Sunday morning expressions, whatever you can do. But yeah, I actually think it's a privilege to be here. I never get to travel. I never do. I have three small kids. They're like 10, 7, and 5. And, you know, it's amazing. That's my first calling is, you know, loving Jesus, being a wife, and then being a mom. But that's a full-time job, right? So whenever they introduce us as staff, I get up and I'm like, I'm in the mom department. And, you know, everybody's just kind of like, oh, right, okay. So you mean I won't see you, and then you'll probably have these beings hanging off of your legs as you walk around. So yeah, that's pretty much what I do. I carry beings attached to my legs, and I walk around with them, and you know, I do this movement, and they sit and they ride like I'm a theme park, and they ask me questions. And my youngest, I'll just take a second to let you get to know me. My youngest is Cade. He's almost 5, and he's the most unique. Well, I don't know. Malachi's really unique too, but I have special children, and I think God did that because I'm special, and I don't like the norm, and I love spontaneity, and so my kids are very, they're very fun. But my youngest, he started out, his first language was Minion, from the Minions movie. Yes, from the Minions movie. And I did this mistake where, you know, I just let him watch the movie too much. He's your youngest kid. He doesn't get the diaper changed as much. He kind of drags along. You don't often get shoes on them. And you're a little more relaxed with your third. And I just let him watch the Minion movie too much. And so he was fluent. They can attest to it. He was fluent in Minionese. And Beto was his favorite to talk. I don't even know what it means, but we figured it out, you know. And we taught him English along the way, and he talks fine now. He's 5. It's totally cool. But my favorite is my middle one, Malachi. My husband and I are both brown hair, brown eyes, and we produced, I don't know how, this blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby. And he is the most middle child, classic stereotype you'd ever meet, but he's hilarious. And in his little mind at 7 years old, this one story, we're driving in a car, and he figured out the world. He must be intuitive, not sensing, you know, the different personality types. And so he was thinking very hard, and I could see him in the rearview mirror, and he says, Mom, I figured it out. And I'm like, what? He's like, okay, just listen to this for a second, okay? He's like, okay, mom, you're my mom, right? Okay, so you're my mom. I'm like, yeah, I'm your mom. And then he's like, and dad's my dad, right? And like, so matter of fact, yeah, dad, your dad. Nevaeh's my sister and Cade's my brother. So that must mean, and he was so serious about this because he figured it out. Like he spent 5 minutes thinking hard about this. At 7 years old, and he says, that must mean that everybody else in the world, you ready for this, Mom? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for it, Malachi, is my cousin. Actually. And so everybody, you're all his cousin. So if you ever see my son Malachi, you'd be like, whoa, cuz, what's up? And so that's my son. And then my Nevaeh, she's 10, and she's just sweet, curly hair like me. She's really gentle, soft, and introverted, loves to do art, and loves horses. So, which I have a story about that later. But today, what we obviously came with an intention to talk to you guys about growing in this reality of life in the Spirit. And a huge part of that the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you being little Christ or Christ to the world or being a living letter or being a witness to Jesus, because the Bible says go into all the world and make disciples of men and be a witness, right? And Judea and Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, is that right here in our own towns, our own Judea, we have to become Jesus to people everywhere we go. And isn't it real? Like, we're not all going on missions trips, you know, 1,800 times a year. And we're not all, like, getting up to do worship or do the teaching. But yet he says, you're my teacher. You're my disciple. You're my witness. You're my representative. You're my ambassador. So who does that mean we infect? Is those people around us in our lifestyle, right? And so our heart today and this morning and this coming rest of the weekend is to really bring a lifestyle perspective and some practical teaching to what are the gifts and how do they work in my life and what is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we all know that, you know, it's one of the first things we learn, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness and self-control. We all know them, but what is this power side of those things operating in my life so that when June comes up to me or Stan comes up to me or somebody on the street, I run into them, they go, whoa, what is it about you? There's something different about you. Can I hang out with you? Can I just keep talking to you? And I'm sure you see it all the time when you're in the soup kitchens working, when you're at your workplace, when you're around, and people are like, whoa, why are you so happy? And that's the combination of the power of God through the fruit of the Spirit. And then God says, not just there, not just my heart, not just my character, not just my nature, but my power. And so a lot of people get hung up on this. I grew up in a really conservative church. I walked away as a teenager. I partied. I did the street life. I did the high school life. I did the drugs, the alcohol, the men. I did all this stuff. The rebellious lifestyle, like a prodigal son, I took off from God, even though I knew he was real. And I had an encounter with Jesus where he tried to pursue me through a dream. I met Jesus in a dream, what I knew to be Jesus, calling me up a mountain. Come pursue me, Sarah. Come follow me up this mountain. And as you know, mountains in the Bible represent the presence and the place of the Lord, right? And I refused it. I was so, like, in the Christian world, but not understanding that the power of God and the experience of God is the most necessary part of living this Christian life, the little Jesuses that we are here on earth. And so he pursued me, and I was like, no, don't want it. You know, I knew a lot about God. I knew a lot about holiness. I knew a lot about being a good person. And I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. But yet because of the lack of the intimacy encounter, and I choose those words really, really seriously, the intimacy encounters with his power and his love, my relationship and my Christianity didn't have much depth. So he pursued me. He got me. I had a drug situation encounter, kind of overdose thing, where I fell asleep on a friend's couch at a party, and in the dream I was dying and saw my spirit leave my body and my soul leave my body, and I was going towards a black lake, and I started to cry out to God, God, save me! Save me! There's this dark lake that I was heading towards, and I just knew it was death. I knew that's what that black lake meant. And as my soul is heading towards this lake, I start to cry out to God. I'm sorry, God, I said no to you. I'm sorry I said no to you in that dream. I'm sorry I walked away in my lifestyle. You know, come, you know, if you save me, don't let me die. I'll serve you. And about 2 feet from me hitting this black lake, I wake up. It's morning time after this encounter. I was in grade 10. Like, it wasn't even, like, it was intense, you know. You're a partier. You're a kid. You never think your life's going to go down the tubes when you're that age. You know, and I'm sure some of you can attest that, like, that kind of lifestyle can wrap you up and take you down hell's highways for decades. But his mercy, man, he got me. Woke up that morning, nobody knew I was a Christian. No, we don't tell people at a party you're a Christian. And I was like, saved my life. I gotta go back to God. I gotta find him again. I walked downstairs, everybody's getting ready for school. They're like, oh, hey, Sarah. And I'm like, I'm a Christian, and it doesn't look like it, but I'm a Christian, and I know you don't, like, this is going to sound confusing, but I can't be your friend anymore. I was just like, I was so gung-ho, black and white. I know now, like, you don't say I can't be your friend, but At that time, I just didn't care. I needed Jesus. And I was like, I got to go find God, and I can't do drugs anymore. And they were like, what? They were still hungover. They didn't. Needless to say, I went hardcore after God, and I said to the Lord, I said, God, I found you now. I won't let you go. Like the Song of Solomon says, the bride found her king. And now that I found you, I knew I should have followed you, and I didn't, and I compromised. But now that I got you, God, I will never let you go. And what that meant for me was God. It was a really simple prayer. If I can't feel you for real, your power, your love, your transformation, I don't want this Christianity thing. So I want to present that today from that perspective of a lifestyle of wholehearted pursuit of God, that anything that stands in the way of a real encounter of the truth of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, on these two subjects, his fruit, his character, his nature, and his power, will you be willing to lay that down? Maybe it's a teaching. Remember, I grew up in a place where they didn't teach on anything about the Holy Spirit. And I was taught that gifts weren't for today. And I was taught that you only pursue the fruit of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is just an empty, personless vehicle of power that gets you to God in holiness. That was it. And maybe that's you. Or maybe you just have questions because you haven't been taught about the gifts. And maybe you've seen, you know, the far other end of the spectrum where it's just so intense and so emotional and so just a display of looks strange, we'll just say. We'll call it strange, maybe, unusual, that you're like, I don't know if I can do that. It's not my personality type to go, you know, I won't do it. You want me to, I know, but I'm not going to do it. By example. But, you know, all of the really exuberant expressions of sometimes what happens when the power of God hits a person's life, maybe that's not your personality type, and you're just wondering, God, can I, like, do I have to do that to operate in the gifts? You know, and maybe that's your hang-up. But my question to you today is just simply this, as we dive into a little bit of teaching and a little bit of prayer time ministry for you guys, is this: what are you willing to lay down in your pursuit for him? What are you willing, what mindsets, what teachings that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, whether it's your personal life experience, whether it's fear, whether it's lack of knowledge of the Word of God, whether it was wrong teaching of the Word of God, and you're just not sure what's the right way to go theologically, are you willing to lay that down and let God show you today? So I want to invite you into that. God, I ask you to just wreck us with your love today. God, I ask that as we go into this teaching that you would move on us in a way that we know that it's you, God, in Jesus' name. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the fruit and the gifts, and tonight we're going to go directly into some of those gifts. We're going to talk about healing and transmitting God's power in healing, and then tomorrow we're going to talk about of the 9 main gifts that exists. We're going to go into the revelatory gifts. They're basically broken up into 3 different categories, and the fruit are basically can be broken up into 3 broad categories. But in terms of the gifts, we're going to look at gifts that reveal something. So words of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, and words of wisdom. They're very practical for life, especially when you have kids, because you can be like, oh, no, 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 I know. The Holy Spirit showed me what you did last night. I saw you took that cookie out of the cookie jar. You know, like, I had a dream about that. And they're like, dang it, Mom, why do you have the Holy Spirit in you so much? You know, they won't be able to get away with anything, you know. You're playing that card game with your friends at the local, you know, cafe or something like that. And you're just like, you're playing poker or you're playing whatever. And just bend down, Holy Spirit, ask you, just show me what they have. And then you get a mental picture. You know, and they're like, dang it, you're breaking the rules. You're not allowed to use the Holy Spirit in that game. But those are just some of the more important reasons why we have the gifts of the Spirit. I'm just joking. Those are just the fun ways that we can operate in the Lord and in the Spirit. But I want to open up with reading to you 1 Corinthians. And let me just get my notes straightened out. But you can turn with me into the book of 1 Corinthians, or if you have phones, you can get that ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting roughly around verse 4. Well, let's turn to I'm going to pull it up in my other version. Y'all there? Okay. Because I'm not. Okay, 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and it's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't think of evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. Verse 7. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures everything. Verse 8, and love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they're going to fail. That word fail just means they're going to end one day. When this dispensation before Jesus' return ends, those things will be done. We won't need prophecy anymore. So they'll end. And where there are tongues, they'll stop too. And where there's knowledge, it's going to vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfected has come, that which is in part, meaning those gifts, okay, they will also be done. Because when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, I thought like a child. And when I became a man or woman, I put away childish things. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then I'm going to see Jesus and see myself face to face. I know in part now, but then I'm going to know him just as I am known. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of them is love. Welcome to the gifts and the lifestyle of the Spirit in one chapter. You know, we're called as Christians to pursue God by being sons or daughters of God. And the book of Galatians and the book of Romans also reinforces this, says that if we are the sons and daughters of God, it'll be shown as we're led by the Spirit. And so we actually are obligated to understand, who is this dude called Holy Spirit living inside of us? Does he talk to us? Does he communicate to us? Does he translate Jesus, the God-man in heaven, and the Father God sitting on the throne to us here on earth? And how do we do that? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And so we're actually obligated as Christians to pursue this and understand it. And so that's what I want to do with you today. A lifestyle that pursues God is a lifestyle that is worthy of pursuing the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So this includes both the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, which flow from the person called Holy Spirit. Say this with me. Hey, Holy Spirit. I love addressing Holy Spirit like that. He's a person. He thinks, he feels, he can be grieved, he can be quenched, he can be stopped, he can give orders, he can give directions, he can be upset. What? Holy Spirit can be upset? What does that look like? He can give us directives. He can move through us. He can laugh. He can talk. He can communicate. Did you know that most communication is nonverbal? 73% of it is. That's crazy. Well, that's a good thing, guys, because Holy Spirit, we can't see him. 99.9% of the time, we don't hear the audible voice of the Lord. Thank you, God, like, why are you leaving me hanging? You know? But if it's nonverbal communication, that must mean that if we are made in God's image, that and Holy Spirit is God, the Spirit, he is Father's Spirit, he is Jesus' Spirit, we got an advantage. He lives inside of us. And he's going to flow up into our mind, our will, our emotions, in agreement with the word of the Lord and in love. And he's going to translate God to us. Amen. I'm building up faith for you guys right now. All right. So we can't measure our maturity, though, by our operation in the gifts. Oh, man, we put way too much emphasis, don't we? We do. Now, some of us underemphasize the gifts. Some of us overemphasize the gifts. But let me say this, your maturity, the depth of your walk with God, is not defined by how powerfully you operate in any of the gifts. your maturity is only measured by your fruit. And what's the Bible say? Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their, bam. The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. I can't get that song out of my head. It's a kid's song, and it's awful. And I beg you, if somebody ever says, listen to this song, don't. It'll wreck you forever. But it'll help you remember the fruit of the Spirit, but it'll wreck you forever, because then you'll be thinking that the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut for the rest of your life. It's also not a grape. That's the next part in the song. But you'll know them by their fruit. You know, it says, if I were to speak with the gift of tongues, we read that, right? If I was to summon the angels to appear, if we were to have the gift of prophecy with profound understanding of the hidden secrets of God, and you possessed an unending supernatural ability to do really cool things with God, and you had all the greatest gifts of faith that could move mountains, but you never learned to love, you're nothing, the Bible says. You're absolutely nothing. Love is defined by the fruit of the Spirit. If I was to go down every gift of the fruit of the Spirit, let me just do that for you. You would see that every fruit listed in the Spirit actually is a dynamic or a definition of the utmost, the greatest of all these things, which is love. You would see that joy is an overflow of love. You'd see that peace is a way of subduing our hearts in love. You would see that patience is a way of enduring in God's love. You would see that kindness is love in action. You would see that a life full of virtue is all of the things combined of love. You would see that faith is love prevailing. You would see that gentleness is a heart that tenderly releases love to other humans. You would see that love isn't just tender, mushy love, but it's a strength and a fire that cannot be consumed by all of the demonic forces of love. As a matter of fact, Song of Solomon 8, verse 6 says, oh, Jesus, I wish and I pray that you would be the seal upon my heart and the seal upon my arm, because these two things would be the greatest expressions of love, a flame that is so vehement, so strong, so real, so great, that all of the forces and floods, picturing hell as a flooding water, could never put it out. Actually describes love as the grave, unyielding, always ready to consume us. Doesn't it say God's love is a consuming fire? He is a consuming fire. All of the gifts of the Spirit and all of the fruits of the Spirit are expressions of this utmost thing and hinge upon this one thing, God's love. Let me remind you, you're made for love. That's why he created you. If he created me for anything else, God help us. We would not sustain. We would have failure to thrive. We would be like little babies that never were loved, never were fed, left in a crib, and we would die. Thank God he made us for love and made us to be loved and to love him back. And that's why we are successful, because of his love pursuing us. Amen. I like you. But if you want to go into a quick teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, I like to picture it like a meat sandwich. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the bottom bun. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is the top bun. The bottom bun is all about the gifts of the Spirit, and it lists them, the main nine of them. In Romans chapter, I think it's like 9 or 10, talks about the other gifts, which are equally as important, like hospitality, helps, administrations, and things like that. But the bottom bun is mainly those gifts. And the top bun is how to administer those gifts in this kind of setting and in our lives. But a lot of people, here's what they do. They're like, oh yeah, give me the gifts. Give me the teaching on the gifts. But they don't put the middle of the sandwich in there. It's a meatless sandwich. I mean, how many of you go down to the local deli or here at Superstore? Which way is Superstore? That way? That way. You go on a Superstore to the deli. They got excellent deli food, don't they? I love it. It's one of my favorite places to grab food for my kids. And you're like, hey, I want to get that sandwich, I'm going to take the honey ham sandwich with the mustard, definitely the sauerkraut. Who y'all like sauerkraut? Definitely the lettuce. You don't like sauerkraut? Oh, man, what is wrong with you guys? Okay, definitely that cheese, that favorite cheese, that lettuce, those sauces, everything all combined. And they're like, oh, okay. And you're like, so I'll take that honey ham sandwich, but hold the ham, please. As a matter of fact, hold the cheese, hold the sauerkraut, hold the fixings, hold the sauces. I'll just take the bun, please. And they're like, what? What do you mean? No, I'll just take the bun. I'll just take the top and the bottom part, and maybe a little butter. But I definitely want the honey ham sandwich, please. And excuse me, you're asking for the honey ham sandwich. You kind of put the honey in it, in the ham? What do you mean? Yeah, that's what I want. But I don't want the ham. I just want the bun. And as Christians, that's what we do. We go and we see this beautiful sandwich of the gifts of the Spirit and the Christian life. And we're like, oh, yeah, I want to consume that one. But we forget that the center of that sandwich is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the fruit of the Spirit. It's His love. Walking in the gifts in the Christian life without having love is like going to the deli and trying to order the honey ham sandwich with nothing in the middle, just the bread. You're ludicrous. Who would do that? Nobody would do that. And it's so crazy to me, that analogy, because everything that's in the middle of the sandwich is what's nutritious, isn't it? That's where you get your lettuce, your one piece of iceberg lettuce. Come on, every burger we get at the fast food restaurant, we're like, we feel good because we got a piece of iceberg lettuce on it. But, you know, it's something. It's got a little bit of nutritional value. But that meat, man, is the protein. It's the sustenance of your growth, of your life, of the clarity of mind. If you have a diet without protein, whether it's meat protein or vegetable protein, you're done. You can't sustain. You won't stay strong. And that is exactly the basis of how Jesus presented operating in the gifts. He said, don't just operate in the gifts. He said, don't not operate in the gifts. You need it all. If you were to have just the meat and a bunch of sauce and a tomato and onions and lettuce, that'd be a sloppy mess, wouldn't it? It's called a salad, guys. I know you don't eat them. I love salad. I know you do too. But you would never do that. You need the bun. You need the center. You need it all. So our love is defined. And our life, even in the spiritual gifts, is defined by the fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:22. The meat being the middle, 1 Corinthians 13. The top being 1 Corinthians 14:1, which says, pursue, love, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. And then the bottom bun, which is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Isn't that interesting? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. There's your meat sandwich. This is how we're to pursue spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, having it this way also saves us from pride. Did you know that? If we only focus on the gifts of the Spirit in our life, we will fall into the trap of pride, because human nature is at enmity with God. And we will, as soon as you start to operate, because here's the truth, you don't have to be a mature Christian to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You don't. Baby Christians, they're popping out healings. You know, my kids, they're like, oh, Nevaeh was really sick one night when she was about 4 years old. She had the flu hardcore for 2 days straight. And I knew it was going for a third day. Everybody around that had this, it was like a three-day flu thing, right? I felt so bad for her. She was so sick. She couldn't keep anything down, pounding headache when she'd go to bed at night that nothing could take care of. I said, Nevaeh, honey, I said, let's just pray tonight. And we prayed every night, obviously. But I said, let's pray again. I said, do you believe God can heal you? She's like, yeah. But she's like really sick. And so we laid hands on her. I said, God, just heal her, especially the headache, Lord. So she goes to sleep. That one night, she wakes up in the morning, she comes bounding into my room, these chocolate brown eyes and bouncy ringlets flying all over the place, and just this sweet little soft voice, and she's only like this tall. She comes in, she says, mommy, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, hey, you look better. She goes, yeah, I had a dream. Jesus came onto me on my bed, and He laid down on my brain, and He healed me. And I was like, what? You laid down on your brain? What does that even mean? And she was just like, yeah, He laid down on my brain and He healed me. And I was like, whoa, can I have some of that faith, please? But kids, that childlike faith, you know, you stay in that as you stay in love, because pride is the enemy of faith. It's one of the enemies of faith. It's one of the enemies of the childlike faith that you need. And love is the answer to that, because a real sense of love, not giving love, but receiving love from God like a child. You ever seen a proud child that's just bounding around in the love of God? They're not too prideful. They're not in false humility. They just know. They just know they're loved, and then they administer, they give, right? And so that is the essence of what we need to walk in. You know, there's a parable of the 10 talents, Matthew 25, 14 to 30, that talks about these three people being given talents. One got five, one got something like three or two, and then one got one. And the man with five was faithful. He invested those things. And the worker guy came back. He's like, hey, you did good. High five. Here's your bonus. Have a nice life. Go to Florida. And then the next guy was like, he had two talents. And he didn't have as many talents, but he invested them well. He's like, I multiplied over here. I started a bakery over there. And I did this for this guy. And I love this guy. Well done. High five. Here's your equal bonus. Go to Florida. Have a nice vacation. And then the guy with one talent was like, ooh, dang it. I'm not really sure what to do with this. And he didn't invest it. He buried it. And the boss came back. He was really mad. And he says, wow, you didn't use your talent well. And he goes, yeah, but I only had one. I didn't want to wreck it. I didn't want to displease you. And he sounded really sincere, right? Like, have you ever felt that way? Like, I don't want to displease my boss or my pastor or my parents or my friends. And but he was said, no, you weren't faithful. I'm going to take what was given from you, and there's also, you won't get the bonus. As a matter of fact, it's not going to look so good for you in your outcome. And we always interpret that as, oh no, my gifts and my personal talents or skills or abilities, and that's part of it, guys, but this isn't necessarily talking about that in its essence. It's actually talking about love. What are you doing? Your gifts, the spiritual gifts, the tongues, the prophecy, your talents, your business skills, your skills as a mom, as a friend, as a ministry person. How are you investing that through the power of God with love? Because when you have childlike faith, you live in a mindset that you are loved, and it doesn't matter what you have, you will find a way to operate in love and in power with that. Wherever you are and whatever assignment you have in your life, you'll be like, yeah, God loves me. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to mop those floors in the love of Jesus Christ. My grandma died singing this song. She was 82. She would always mop the floors in her house. She goes, I don't care if it rains or freezes. I'm in the arms of the little Lord Jesus. She's mopping the floors. Even when she had dementia and she would do the dishes 30 times. I don't care if it rains or freezes. I'm in the arms of the little Lord Jesus. And that was her song. Guess what her reward in heaven will be? Well done, Grandma. Pat, daughter Pat, grandma, here's your bonus. Go hang out in the heavenly places for a vacation. Man, love is the essence of everything that we need to know. Here's your lesson in the gifts and in the fruit. Get drunk on God's love, people. Be a childlike receptor and fueler of love in the earth, and you will grow. Little teaching here, little mentor here, little church there, little prayer there, and you will be effective. So know your fruits, guys. You got to know your fruits and know that they're not based on circumstances, guys. The gifts are actually circumstantial, but the fruit is not. Okay? Let me say that again. The gifts are circumstantial, but the fruit is not. The fruit is a constant state of being. The fruit is the mind of Christ, the nature of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you can choose not to operate in the fruit. But if you long for it, if you long for love, then you long for the fruit of the Spirit. And yes, it's going to take some work. And yes, it's not going to be circumstantial, like, oh, I don't get the peace of God today because he didn't choose to do that miracle in my life. It's going to be like this. Wake up out of bed. Oh, I'm grumpy. No, Sarah. And you turn to the Lord and you say, would you release the patience of God into me today? You get it by asking. That's it. inner conversation with the Holy Spirit releases all of the nine fruits into your life. The gifts, however, they are circumstantial. We'll get to that in a minute. So there's nine aspects of the fruits of the Spirit, or let's just say three main categories of three different fruits that can easily describe how these things operate in your life, okay? And we're going to go through them really quick. These nine fruits of the Spirit, by the way, directly oppose the nine bitter human fruits of a sinful life that Galatians talks about. Interesting. Sin obviously grieves the Holy Spirit and lessens the experience of the fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that grieving, you ever heard the term in the Bible, the Holy Spirit was grieved, or you can grieve the Holy Spirit? That is directly connected to the fruit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I don't choose your nature, my new nature. You say, I choose the old nature. And so if you're having a problem, and it's usually connected to your speech, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about, let your speech be seasoned with salt, do away with all bitterness, slander, jealousy, gossip, but only let what come out of your mouth, what is edifying and building up, and it's going to bring grace to those who hear. And in this, you will not grieve, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, it says. So grieving the Spirit is directly connected to our actions of our speech, which comes out of a heart culture. So if you find you're not experiencing, you won't totally diminish the experience of the fruits in your life, okay? But I do want you to know this, because it's very practical, that if you're struggling to experience the nine gifts, whatever one of them is, like if you're in the opposite, so let's say you're in impatience, not patience, okay, or you're in harshness, not gentleness, just stop. Holy Spirit, did I do something? Did I say something that was harsh, that grieved you? And 9 times out of 10, I would even say 10 times out of 10, as you cultivate this, you won't get a memory pop into your mind of something last week or something this morning or something yesterday that happened that caused a grieving of the Spirit. And a grieving of the Spirit isn't a losing of the Spirit. A grieving of the Spirit is a, oh, come on, let's get back to love. Let's get back to love. There's no condemnation in it. There's no shame in it. It's just, come on, come back to love. I can't operate. I can't live and partner with that, because that's destructive. But come back to love, son. Come back to love, daughter. Okay? Groups of the fruit. So there's nine, let's call them flavors of fruit. And they're in step with three categories of your life as a Christian. Let's take a look at them. The first three is love, joy, peace. And these three bring you into harmony with God, right? Does that make sense? Self-explanatory. Number two. Then there's patience, gentleness, and kindness. These bring you into harmony with each other, right? And then there's faithfulness, meekness, or it's also said goodness, but they're the same thing. Faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, they bring you into good relationship with yourself. How many know the biggest war you have is right down inside here? Oh, is it ever crazy, isn't it? We got to overcome that one. Let me read this to you. The fruit of the Spirit is limited unless you use it with the gifts. Just as the gifts of the Spirit are inadequate without the fruit of the Spirit. Let me give you an example. Let's say I go into a hospital with the fruit of the Spirit operating in my life, and I see a nice lady, and I'm going to minister to her. I love on her by showing up. That's the first one. I bring joy to her by cheering her up. I bring peace to her by calming her down. I bring patience into the room by listening to her story about her operation. I bring kindness by giving her good treats, maybe some chocolate. I bring goodness or meekness by offering to babysit her kids. I bring faithfulness into the room, the faithfulness of Jesus, by coming every day. Jesus never gives up, right? I bring meekness or goodness by leaving when the nurse says it's time to go, visiting hours are over. And I bring self-control by not eating the treats. Yeah, self-control. In all of these demonstrations of the fruit of the Spirit, did she get healed? Physically? Doesn't sound like it, does it? Maybe, we could guess in an optimistic way. But I demonstrated all the fruits, but I didn't heal her, because that healing is a gift of the Spirit. Now let's look at the gifts for a second. We need to add the gifts around the fruit. We need the bun to hold the love, don't we? We need the bun as a perfect encasement to bring the whole package of being a witness of God. And that's why God says, tarry and labor and wait until I come on you and give you power to be a witness. And then you're going to go into Judea. And then you're going to go into Jerusalem. And then you're going to go to the rest of the world with power, dunamis power. And we'll take over the world like that little mighty mouse and his evil comrade, but we'll do it for good. And we'll take over the world in the love of Jesus Christ and a demonstration of the Word of God that he's real, amen, that he's powerful, amen, and that he's alive today, amen. And he wants to work through you. This should have been the biggest praise over that one. Don't give me none of that false humility stuff. When God works through me, I'm like, yes. And God's like, yes. That's how God responds when I'm like, get it, God. Yeah, got him. Got him, man. That's how I act with my kids. Come on, right? Like, you're not going to tell a kid who's like, Mom, look what I can do. Look what I can do. And they run and they jump from the stage to the chair and they make it. And you're like, he didn't know, like, that little bridge means that he built. Doesn't mean actually jumping, but he thinks he jumped. But he just jumped along the way. As a parent, I'm not going to be like, Malachi, you didn't actually jump from the stage to the chair. You put little pillows and chairs across. I'd be like, yeah, you did it. And I would let him think he did it, because it would build confidence, right? That's who we are as children of God. All right. We need to earnestly desire the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Just because it says it's a gift doesn't mean it's optional. Let me hit this for a second with you. To anyone in this room who feels that the gifts of God are for not for today, or somebody taught you that, I want to present to you an idea that I believe is the Word of God and the right Word of God, that you are called to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. They are for today. And just because it's a gift doesn't mean it's optional. You know, to some, that's a great thing, a gift, getting a gift at Christmas. Who doesn't like that? Put your hand up if you love getting a gift. We all do. But to those who think the gifts are not for today, or it's scary, we're too fearful. It's kind of like getting a gag gift. You know that game, Bamboozled with the jelly beans? Jelly Belly jelly beans? They're fake, just so you know. Don't ever let anybody trick you with those. They're awful. But the game is, you spin a wheel, and let's say you get pear jelly bean. And pear jelly bean isn't really pear jelly bean, just so you know. It's like stinky puke flavor. And I don't know what it is about the human brain, but when you smell that smell, and that's how they concocted these fake jelly beans, they're trick jelly beans. It's a game. Out of the three green jelly beans in the bag, one of them is stanky, and two of them actually taste like pear. And so the three of your friends, it's hilarious. You should try it. You don't know who's going to get which one, because they all look the same. And you throw, okay, ready? One, two, three. Pop! And everybody, like the two that get it, are like, And then the guy that got the stanky one's like, but the truth is, it's not real puke. It just, they concocted it to smell that way, so your brain thinks that it's actually stinky. And you know, to those who are afraid of the gifts, sometimes it's like receiving that gag gift. Here, I got you a jelly bean, and you're like, I don't want to open it. What if it's that stinky jelly bean and it's bad for me? But God's saying, no, not at all. Gifts are not optional, and I don't trick you. And I'm not a forceful tyrant God. And I'm not going to push myself on you. That's for somebody in this room right now. that maybe you've been pushed. We've got a laughy team back here. They are loving this. Maybe you've been pushed into the gifts, or you're not that charismatic personality type. I want you to know that God's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And that operating in the gifts, listen to this, does not mean going out of control. God wants to bring a supernaturally natural approach to the gifts of God for your life. Amen? Amen. All right. There's lots of gifts, but the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for all. That's 1 Corinthians 12:7. And here's the reality. We need to pursue them all, and you're going to find out that you lean more towards one at first. Or one or two are going to be a staple in your life. But that, like I said before, the gifts of God are circumstantial. The fruit of God is not. And so if there's a need and you're the only person there, who's going to lay hands on them for healing? Everybody better put up their hand. I am, right? So the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, just to pursue all the gifts, but as each one has received a gift, let them be faithful, that's a key word, faithful to minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's no need for spiritual maturity to start out in the gifts. Gifts are for power to be a witness, Acts 1 verse 8. You shall have power, Acts 1:8 says, and you shall be a witness. Those are two imperatives that are not optional. You shall means you will. You will. And I'm stirring up the faith right now. Who desires to operate in the gifts? Who has doubted that it was going to work sometime? Be honest. Everybody, right? And so we're all on the same playing field. We're human, guys. We're human. And the Bible says, as even as we prophesy in part, meaning we only do it in little bits and pieces, it still counts. Your weak efforts, God will use them. And the only thing that we are called to do when it comes to the gifts of God is to never give up declaring and pursuing. Doesn't that take a little bit of a load off? That the evidence of our faith isn't actually the manifestation. Did you know that all the gifts and all the signs and wonders that happened in the Old Testament, the parting of the sea, the cloud by day, the fire by night, and all those crazy miracles, it still, the Bible says, didn't cause them to turn their hearts towards him? Isn't that crazy? And yet today we sit here and we're like, we disqualify ourselves. And we're like, Like I prophesied over somebody last night. And prophecy is like hearing the thoughts of God, translating God through a picture or hearing a still small voice or a scripture verse or something you get from God or feeling or a knowing. And then you say it to them. Scary. So I like to stretch myself in words of knowledge. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I know you're going to show up. It's going to be awesome. And I'm like, I got a picture of third in line sibling of sisters with a younger brother. I'm like, are you third in line sister of younger brothers? And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. Do you have any sisters? No. I was like, fail. Okay. But guess what? I was supernaturally natural about it. I didn't make an excuse. I didn't be like, June was there. I didn't be like, oh, well, that must mean prophetically that, you know. I didn't even make an excuse for it. I just said, you know what? Yeah, I don't get it all the time. But my faith was proven even in the failure of the man, or what seemed to be a failure of the manifestation of the power or a miracle of God. That's strange. And yet we sit here and we disqualify ourselves and say, I won't even try, because what if it doesn't show up? And yet God's saying all along, that's not the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith is the love of God and this crazy, wild, nonsensical, almost mentally crazy people going, yeah, but God. Yeah, but have you met him? Yeah, but he's real. Yeah, you can't take my testimony away from me. He's real. Well, why are you pursuing the gifts? It didn't work. Well, it didn't work. He didn't get healed. Where's your God now? Didn't you know that my God is healer no matter what? Whether they get their healing on this side of heaven or that side of heaven, they overcome death in the grave. Amen. Now, when somebody says that to you, you're like, you either walk away and you're like, whoa, they walk away and they're like, God is real. Or they're like, yes, give me God, and they fall down. And isn't that what the result we want? Because the greatest miracle, the greatest power you could ever encounter isn't the parting of the seas, isn't a blind eye being opened. It isn't a tongue, and it isn't a prophecy. It is a heart transformed. That is a win-win. Do you want to be a partner with God? Do you want to be a vessel of his presence? It's really simple. Why don't you stand with me? It's only 10 after 12. We'll just take another 10 minutes. Janelle and the team, you guys can get ready and come on up. Just stretch your legs a bit. God qualifies us all, but we're in trouble, guys. We're in trouble if we decide in our minds and we turn the scriptures to please our ears and to suit our own experiences to say one of two things. We are very much so in trouble. If we begin to say we only need the gifts of God, the heart of God, but not his hand. And we're in trouble if we only say we need the hand of God and not his heart. You guys are Potter's hand. You guys are his hands and his feet, but you're his heart. And isn't that your desire today? And your legacy, not a single soul on earth may know what you did. But I prophesied over somebody last night and I said, oh man, there's a million acts of the love of God and the power of God that you've already done that one day in heaven you're going to find out what they are. And maybe not a single soul ever saw them here on earth because they discredit it because it was small. But God says the small is where I start because I get down in the dirt. I get down on your level. And I'm not a God who's far off, but I'm a high priest who understands. I'm human. I carry flesh, Jesus said. And I did it all because I want to give you an eternal perspective. And my hope and my prayer for you guys today isn't that you would graduate to a platform ministry. Maybe some of you will be called to that. But my heart and my prayer when I gave my life back to Jesus was, God, I want to be an equipper with you of men. I prayed the prayer and I said, Jesus, come be the seal on my heart in the love of God. So you be the seal. And when a king in the day would say, I put my seal, signet ring, on a decree for the land and that nation, there was nothing, how come hell or high waters, that would stop that from happening. So I said, Jesus, be that seal of love on my heart. All the gifts, all the fruits of the Spirit. And then, Jesus, come be the seal. Like that kid, like I demonstrated to you, and you're like, woo! But everybody sees the seal of Jesus Christ, the mark of being a Christian on your arm. Arm represents the strength of partnership, being a vessel of God's presence here on earth, being that witness. And so I prayed that, would you be the seal on my arm? And there's times where I've wanted to give up doing ministry. I'm being real with you. You've run into all kinds of problems, heartaches, family struggles. And you want to give up, or you get persecuted, or you just feel discouraged because you're not seen, and you feel unqualified. But then he reminds me, I'm the seal on your heart and the seal on your arm. Let me do the work through you. You just be my child and say yes. So I said yes when I gave my life back to him. I want to ask you to say yes with me today. And then 1 Timothy says, you know what? It's not about getting all the teaching. It's not about going to Bible college. It's not about going to the school of the prophets. It's about staying in Red Deer, being part of the potter's hand, supporting one another, being the body of Christ, staying planted and rooted, and going, God is here, and we will go. You don't go to Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth until you go to Judea, until you go to your own city and your neighbor and down to the soup kitchen and over to Superstore. This is where you're called. This is where your life goes. I have purpose.
purpose or not. And when you get to heaven, all of eternity, you'll see the honor and the glory that Jesus so graciously allows you to share in, which will be the movie of your life right here in Red Deer, Alberta. But I need you, God says, to pursue spiritual gifts and to pursue my fruit in love. And Timothy, you know Timothy in the Bible? He was just like you and just like me. Ah, look at this. I'm not any good. I'm just a kid. God and his auntie, who's got an auntie or a grandma-like figure in their life? Everybody does. Somebody's got a mama figure in their life. It's probably Stan and his wife and these few here. They're all mama and everybody, you know? And I actually want you guys to come on up here. Come on up here, Stan and Margaret and, I'm sorry, Krista. We're going to lay hands on you guys. You know what they did? Their aunties and their grandma, their grandpas, they had laid hands on Timothy. This was before Timothy ever knew what his spiritual gift was or his talent was, his assignment. Meaning like if I'm a pastor or a teacher or an administrator or a workplace or anything. Before he knew anything about qualifications, they laid hands on him and they said, stir up the gift that's under the surface that he can't see right now. And you know what that did to Timothy? It produced such a faith in him. It produced such an impartation of God. See, sometimes God uses the laying on of hands of the elders, of the mothers and fathers of the church, and the aunties and the uncles, and the grandmas and the grandpas who have walked through it to impart something spiritually, to begin a process that will burn and burn and burn and grow and grow and grow until one day you're the grandma. You're the big sister or big brother, and you turn to the next guy and you're like, I know a secret about something that's inside of you, and I know you don't believe it right now because everybody told you you suck and you're not going anywhere and you're not gonna make it because everybody that makes it in this world has $1 million or they're a CEO of a company and you're not gonna do that. Go get a real job. Battered by the lies of the accuser, working through a broken friend or mother or father or teacher who didn't mean it, but they're broken too. And you're going to be that person one day that turns to them and says, guess what I know? Guess what happened in my life? You want that today. All I want to do to start this weekend of the gifts and the fruit is to lay hands on you. Make a declaration. God, be the seal on my heart, be the seal on my arm, and I say yes to whatever you have inside of me. I will go. So if that's you, I want to invite you to come on up. We're going to do this as a family. You don't have to. If you're uncomfortable getting out of your seat, that's fine. It's just an invitation. You can be ministered to right where you're at in your seat, and that's okay. But if you feel you want to come up for prayer ministry, we're going to lay hands on you and just simply pray this. God, stir up the gift of God that's inside of them. I also want to say this. If you've never made that first step of making him Lord of your life and you're still stuck in sin and you're going, God, I don't know how to get to you to start that process because I'm not even a Christian yet, but you want that, why don't you just raise your hand right now? If that's you and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life and you haven't yet, I just want to make sure because we can't pray for the gifts of the Spirit to start if the Holy Spirit hasn't entered in yet. So it looks like nobody, so that's fine. That's okay. So we'll continue on with this. We're going to ministry team and our students, we can come and lay hands on you. But I also want you to ask if there's anybody here that just wants prayer for something, you can come on up for that too. And you just specify to our ministry team, I just want prayer for this or prayer for that. We'll pray for that as well for you, okay? All right. Amen. Jesus, come and minister through us, God. As we pray together, the laying on of hands, I ask that you would stir up the gifts. In Jesus' name.